That was good. That's one of them songs I was going to be talking about later that I sing. But Leanne does a much better job than I do. But when I sing, it's probably not for my or your enjoyment, pleasure. Hey, guys, we're still in this series called History Makers. And if you'll take out your message notes, hope everybody got them. We're going to be looking at, you know, for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the lives of various people in the Bible. A lot of them will be heroes to a lot of us that grew up in church. And we're going to talk about a couple of them today. Then a couple of more the next time, a couple more the next time. And what I found out about people in the Bible is that some folks are to be imitated and some are not to be imitated. And to set the scene, I kind of want to, let's start it, look at this first verse up at the top of your outline. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 says, "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages have come." Some people in the Bible were examples. Some people were warnings. And so in the next couple of sessions, we're going to look at four lives. Today we're going to just look at two, one example and one warning. We're going to look at Joshua. We're going to look at Samson. So let's just get started for you guys that are got your pens ready or itching to fill out blanks. Number one, Joshua is an example of fearlessness. He's an example of fearlessness. Let me give you a little background on this, is that Moses had led the children out of Egypt, the Jewish people out of Egypt, and they had wandered for 40 years. And he had brought them to the border of the promised land. Well, when they got to the border, Moses died. And God had appointed Joshua to take over. And the one thing I like about Joshua is that he knew, he wasn't born during the 40 years of wandering. He knew what it was like to be a Hebrew slave. He didn't just know the story, and he didn't just hear the story. He knew what it was like. And so Joshua had just, at this story where we're going to pick up, Joshua had just led the people through this miraculous crossing over the Jordan River where God split it. And they were able to go through. He'd parted it for them. And now, they're about to go to war with this city called Jericho. It's a powerful, fortified city. And here's Joshua in this kind of lonely and dark place where he's really afraid. Even though God had assured him of this victory, he had seen with his own eyes. I mean, Joshua saw the Red Sea parted. And he saw water come out of a rock. He saw God feed the people with manna. And then he even saw how he parted the Jordan River. He's seen all of this with his own eyes, all these miracles. He had all these encounters with God over all these years. And I find it amazing, after all of this, that he's afraid. That he's afraid. Then I think of us. And isn't it amazing how quickly that we can forget the things that God has already done for us when we're faced with some new challenge? And we become afraid. And it's kind of like God has to prove himself over and over and over again because we forget. And I want to ask you today, are you afraid of something? Today. Are you afraid of something today? Are you facing a challenge? Are you concerned about what someone might say? or you're coming up against this obstacle and you're afraid of it. Chances are, if you're afraid, you have forgotten something. You have forgotten what God has already done. You have forgotten some answered prayers that's already happened in your life. You've forgotten something. You've forgotten maybe how God has already shown his power in your life before. And really, that's why you're afraid. Because you see, if we don't remember how God has worked in our life before, then when we face these new challenges, all we're going to have is fear. All we're going to have is fear if we can't remember. Because when we remember the things that God has done for us, it builds up our faith for the future. When we remember the prayer's answer, it builds up for the obstacles that we're going to face. Joshua is alone and he's afraid. What does God do? He sends an angel. You know, and I'd like to say, he didn't just send any old angel. This was the commander of the Lord's army. And I put where the story is in your outline. I want you to read it this week. That's your homework. I'm going to have two things this week. You know, keep doing your Proverbs, but I want you to read Joshua 5 and 13 through 6 and 27. But here's where we're at. You know, he's supposed to go do this. He's afraid. He's going to attack the city of Jericho. And Joshua is afraid when he sees the angel. I mean, this is the commander of the Lord's army. And basically, Joshua asked the angel, he says, you know, are you on our side? Or are you on their side? And I love what the angel replies. He said, I didn't come to take sides. I came to take over. Woo! Son. But you know what? That's what God does in your life. When you pray a simple prayer, God help me. God help me. I want to tell you something. God don't come to take sides. He comes to take over. He comes to take over. And the angel even went so far as to give Joshua specific instruction on how the battle is to be fought. Guys, you see, it ain't your battle. It ain't your battle. It's God's battle. And God gives the strategy in this battle. He gives the timing. And guess what? He even gives the ultimate victory. I love it that God even tells them how and when to march. He says, when you march, when you go, take the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this ain't the big boat that I'm talking about, Noah's Ark. I'm talking about the small Ark of the Covenant. It's got the Ten Commandments, and it's got the Word of God. He said, take it with you. You know, and he says, it has to be in the middle, in the core, when you march into battle. What barrier, what battle are you facing? Guys, what is standing between you and the future that God has for you? You have a decision to make, just like Joshua did. This is it. You can fear the problem, or you can fear the Lord. That's your decision. You can fear the problem, or you can fear the Lord. Well, what is fear the Lord? You know, we heard that a lot growing up. What is fear the Lord? Fear the Lord is reverence and to be in awe. You're so reverent in awe of the Lord that it leads to obedience. That's what fear of the Lord is. It's to respect and to honor God and what he says. And Joshua chose this. I'm going to tell you something. When Joshua chose to fear the Lord, he lost his fear of the enemies. When he chose to honor and respect the Lord, the fear of his enemies was gone. I'm going to tell you something. The fear of man will rob you of confidence. But the fear of the Lord will fill you with confidence. to honor God will fill you with faith. So you got to do what Joshua did. Take this step of faith, and you got to walk in obedience. You got to keep moving forward in the future that God has for you. Then you got to take the word of God into battle. You got to take it there. And the word of God has to be at your very core. This is the core. Could y'all tell I've been working on my core? The word of God has to be in your heart. It has to be in your mind, not on your coffee table. It has to be there. Because, guys, you and I, we're going to war. It's a war out there. God told Joshua to shout praises of joy when you do this. You're going to go around that thing seven times, and you're going to shout praises of joy. This is my favorite part, that we declare with worship, and we watch the walls come down. And this is what I was talking about a while ago. Whenever I want some walls coming down in my life, I sing. I put my skull candies on. I got some skull candies. I bet y'all know that. Especially when I'm cutting grass. If I cut y'all's grass, y'all have heard me. I got these skull candies on. I put it on Pandora. And I sang holy, holy, holy. I sang loud. I sang songs like, I see the Lord seated on the throne, so high and exalted. His train fills the temple. I said, glory, glory, glory. Don't think I'm singing. I'm just knocking walls down. We sing. We declare it with worship. Romans 8:31, I love it. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Holy, holy, holy. I see the Lord seated on his throne. Here's the lesson from Joshua. When you fear the Lord, when you fear the Lord, you have nothing else to fear. You have nothing else to fear. Don't let it just make you shout. Glory! Freedom! I'm sounding like a preacher now. I've been teaching, it seems like I've been teaching Sunday school for 15 years, but I feel like a preacher today. Glory. Hallelujah. Man. Let's move on to Samson's life. Samson's a warning. Samson's a warning about carelessness. I was really convicted about this morning. Some carelessness in my own life. I was convicted enough to carry it to the cross, and I did that this morning. After Joshua, 300 years after Joshua led the people into the promised land, they began to compromise. Oh, they began to compromise. They began to intermarry with the nations around them. I want to tell you something. I'm not talking about racism. But they began to intermarry with the nations around them that were idolaters, that were not believers. They didn't worship God Almighty. They worshiped other things. And as they began to intermarry, they began to compromise the purity of their own faith. And they began to adopt the ways and the culture around them. God had warned them, if you do that, you're going to get yourselves in trouble. And that's what happened. They wound up being dominated by the powers around them called the Philistines. Unbelievers. This was in Samson's days. It's still happening today. We need to be cautious of who we're yoked with. God gave Samson the supernatural power, and he sends him to rescue his people. And we can read these amazing acts of strength about Samson in the book of Judges. He was defeating the Philistines. And Samson saw all these victories, but something happened. He let his guard down. Samson let his guard down. In his heyday, he was having a wonderful time. He was doing what God had sent him to do, but then he became distracted by a Philistine woman. We blame so much on y'all women. His enemy was named Delilah. But do you know what Samson's real problem was? It wasn't the woman. Samson's problem was that he believed that he could flirt with temptation. He believed he could flirt with temptation. That he could go ahead and play with this idea of temptation, but that he wouldn't get himself into trouble. Samson had reached this point in this place in his life that he thought, I'm so important in God's plan that there's no way that I can fail. I'm so important in God's plan that there's no way that I would fall. Samson is a warning to us that you and I cannot play with sin. Sin is not a game. Sin is a war. It is a war with our soul. And Samson made a fatal mistake. He thought that he could just back off from what God had instructed. He began to take for granted God's blessing on his life. He began to take for granted God's glory and his grace. God gave Samson instructions for his life. He actually even went far as back as Samson's mother. He said, never cut your hair. Now, there wasn't anything magical in his hair. It was a sign of obedience. And it says, God, as long as you obeyed God, the glory of God rested on his life. So let's look at this scene where we're at. Samson had told Delilah, the Philistine lady, his secret of his strength. But what he didn't know is she had made a deal with the Philistine leaders. Well, the Bible says that Samson fell asleep. You know, she said, come sleep on my knees. And he went to sleep. Guess what happened? She cut his hair. Samson is stripped of his power. So I want you to go and read Judges 16. When Samson's hair was cut off, guess what happened? He was cut off from the source of his strength and the source of his life. He was cut off from the glory of God that rested on him. He was cut off from the blessings of God that rested on him. You know why? Because Samson had gotten careless with God's grace. He'd gotten careless with God's glory. And you know what the sad thing about it is? If you read this next verse, is he didn't even know it was gone until it was too late. It says, he awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. God's blessing on your life must never be taken for granted. When you reach this place, this point in your life, say, you know, I got all this figured out. I don't need to depend on the Lord. I can do what I want to do. I can flirt with temptation. What happens is we will step out from under the grace of God. We will step out from under the glory of God. And we're going to find ourselves without the strength to finish the task that he's given us. Samson's strength was his obedience. It wasn't his hair. Samson's weakness was his disobedience. His disobedience. Samson was blinded by sin. He was literally blinded. He lost his sight. He lost sight of his purpose. He lost sight of everything. And now he eventually got revenge on his enemies. But it cost him his own life. What I find intriguing in this story, as the commander of the Philistines, you see, Delilah was paid to do this. Did y'all know that? And he was pouring out her money to her. He said, "Delilah, don't feel bad. Everybody has their price. Don't feel bad." See, Delilah's price was money. Samson's price was Delilah. Don't feel bad. Everybody has their price. This is the warning. We have to heed this warning. The Word of God tells us that the Bible is a mirror to my soul. How do you see yourself? If you look at the Word of God, how do you see yourself? How are you reflected in this mirror? Remember, Delilah's price is money. Samson's price is Delilah. So my question is, do you have a price? Is your legacy for sale? Is your allegiance and loyalty to God, is it something that can be purchased by somebody else? Is your loyalty to God be purchased by popularity? Are you willing to sell out to somebody else? In light of looking at ourselves in this mirror of God, is there some business that you need to take care of today? I had to take care of something. I had become careless in my thinking. But I want to tell you something about God's discipline before you get the wrong idea. God's discipline of Samson is not that he would do something to Samson. It was that the discipline was that he could no longer do something through Samson. It wasn't that he would do something to Samson. It was that he could no longer do something through Samson. Does that make any sense at all? You see, most of the time, the discipline of God is not a heavy hand. It's the removal of his hand. And that's a horrible place to be. It's the removal of his hand. When we insist on doing things our way, he says, okay, Jim, show me what you got. Show me what you got. The discipline for followers of Christ is that when we walk out, we don't have God's blessing. We read stories of men and women a lot in the papers these days that just went on their own way. And they'll say that they've fallen into sin or fallen out of grace. Most of the time, I've found that, and when you do a little research, it's not a sudden leap. It's not a leap off of a cliff. It's usually a slow, steady step, a slow, steady decline into a lifestyle. And then all of a sudden,
like me, as I looked this morning before I got here, I thought, how did that happen? How did that happen? How did that happen to me? It's so slow that you're not even aware of the process until you come across a story like Samson. Until you come across a story like this, you're not even aware. And you say, like I did myself, where am I headed? Where am I headed? Which direction am I going? Am I protecting God's blessing in my life? Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Now, God still loves Samson, but God couldn't bless him if Samson wasn't willing to bless God with his own life. He still loved him. But if Samson wasn't willing to bless him, he couldn't bless him either. If we really want to experience true freedom, this is the lesson we learned from Samson. Never be careless about God's grace. Never be careless about God's grace. God's called you and I into freedom. And he wants to walk in that freedom. Freedom. I just like the sound of the word. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Galatians, 5:1. It says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. I ask you again. I've been criticized before about not being a big fiery altar caller, whatever that is. I just feel like I don't have to. I feel like God's word does. And I want to ask you, is there some business you need to take care of? This altar is open anytime. And I want to close with this statement. If you ever cease to glorify God with your life, then don't be surprised if the glory of God is not visiting you. If you ever cease to glorify God in your life, then don't be surprised if the glory of God is not visiting you. Your life. Would you pray with me? My Lord, I'm sorry for flirting with temptation. I apologize for thinking that I couldn't fail. But I'm thankful I serve a God that'll pick me up. Lord, help me to heed your instruction that you have in your word. Lord, I pray that we're not careless with your grace. That we leave a legacy, a good, strong, God-fearing legacy. That our children can say, that's my dad. Or that's my mom. or that's my friend, or that's my pastor. And we do it for you. We do it for you. Help us, Lord, to heed your word and to not fall into this world, into the world of the, as you would say, the Philistines. That we'd keep ourselves pure in light of your word. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.